So I just pray before we begin. Yeah, Father, we thank you for this time and this space now to come together as a community of believers, a community of disciples. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us now. You would open our hearts and our minds to receive from you. Lord, we just pray that you would build us up as your church and send us out so that we might see you glorified and your kingdom built in this city, in these streets and communities. We pray in your name now, Jesus, for your glory. Amen. Amen. Great. This morning we're continuing our series on the Bells model. I don't know if you've got the book or have been following along. We've had Bells stands for Bless, Eat, this is a challenge, Listen, Learn, and Scent. And we've done Bless and we've done Eat. And this morning we're looking at Listen. What is it to listen? I've had some really good conversations with some of you in the church around this book. Some of you love it. Some of you really don't love it. Some of you in between. But I think it's really healthy that we're having these conversations and thinking and wrestling through. What does it look like to be missional? Are we already missional? What needs to change? What doesn't need to change? And I think this, as a start, as a conversation, is a good place for us to be in a church. And I guess we pray that with boldness and courage, we're willing to take those risks to step out in faith. And I believe we'll see God's kingdom built more and more in this parish, in this community, in this city. So this morning we're looking at the first L, listen. What the book talks about is fostering the third habit is for us to foster a listening to the Spirit's voice. He suggests finding a chunk of time each week to stop and create space to commune with God, to be with him, to listen. Michael Frost, the author from the book, is coming from a place of, well, if we're encouraging one another to go out to eat together, to bless those people around us, to be an intriguing, blessing, godly presence in the community, we recognize this isn't easy. I don't know about you, I found it at times hard. And if we're going to encourage each other to do this, then it would be irresponsible not to encourage us also to listen to the Spirit, to God's leading and God's guidance. The challenge, and it really, really is a challenge for some of us, to spend a chunk of time each week listening to the guidance and direction of the Spirit as we engage with those around us. The book suggests 20 to sort of 30 minutes, once a week, maybe at the start of the week, just to be still, to quieten our voices and all our thoughts. I think the thinking behind that is that they say average 15 minutes, you can finally get rid of those distractions and you can just sort of have a sort of a clear headspace. But I don't know about you, when I was thinking about listening and thinking about our culture and the world that we live in, it feels like a bit of an alien concept. It's certainly countercultural to the world outside. When I look to the people around us, our communities, our culture, we see a hardwired culture that is sort of hardwired into instant distractions. It takes real intention and deliberation to swim against this tide of constant bustle and noise and busyness. It doesn't come easy to be switched off to all these things in order to be switched on to the best thing. I'm part of a generation called the millennial generation. So I think that's around 16 to 30-year-olds. They did a research recently, and a report came out at the start of the year in January saying that if you're a millennial and if you have access to the internet, you will, on average, spend around 3.2 hours on your mobile device a day. So that adds up to 22.4 hours a week. That's one day a week almost just staring at your phone, iPad, your computer. It goes without saying, listening, being still, stopping and pausing is difficult. It comes with obstacles, and maybe even some of our own attitudes prevent us from finding that space. The challenge for us as a church this morning is to be still and listen in a noisy and active world. Personally, even then, if I'm entirely honest, in the intercessions, I can find myself wondering, thinking about rugby or sandwiches or whatever. I find thoughts just come popping into my head I don't know about you, I have this sort of head noise, this buzzing list, to-do list, the shopping list, what I'm going to have in my sandwich tomorrow, bacon or chicken or avocado, whatever, what's the dressing. It's so easily distracted. Maybe it's just me. You're all looking quite blank at me. Obviously, I'm the only one that thinks about my sandwiches. But recently, I've also, some of you may know, that we've had our first daughter, Sophie and I, Phoebe, She's been a distraction in herself. She's obviously, we love her to bits. But I found this new thing, and the only thing I can liken it to is when you've been on a boat, maybe out at sea or on choppy waters, and you've come to the end of your time or whatever, and then you come back on solid ground on terra firma, and you still feel sort of the waves and the kind of sloshing around in your head. Or even when you go to lie down, I found that being on a boat, and then I go to lie down at night to go to sleep, I'm still sort of being tossed around by the waves. And with Phoebe, she obviously inevitably, being a newborn, there's lots of tears and lots of screaming and crying. And when that sort of ceases and comes to an end and there's silence, this sort of loop starts in my head of her just crying over and over and over in my head. And it's the same when I come to pray or when I come to listen. This is my latest distraction. I can't sit there without hearing Phoebe. Well, she won't be crying at all, but in my head, there'll be this continuous loop. So first, I just want to acknowledge that listening, for some of us, maybe all of us, is hard. We all know it. However, it's a big however as well. This cannot detract from time we need to carve out to be with God, to listen, to draw closer to him. Like I said, it's hugely countercultural. We live in a society where we work longer hours than ever before. We sleep less hours than ever before. Our culture almost applauds motion and seeming activity and busyness. To a lot of people, this seems like progress. In a previous job, I've had colleagues who have boasted about how much time they've not had off or how busy their diary is, and they've only managed sort of 2 days. They've only been able to see their family for 1 hour this week. And that's been some sort of pride attached to that and some accolade. I think Jesus, in our passage that we just read, sort of combats that. He retreated to the mountainside. In retreating to the mountainside, he reveals how superficial activity and busyness can be. And conversely, how important taking time out to be with God, to commune with him. At first, stillness and listening might be irritating to some of us. We've got long to-do lists. But I believe it's in the quietness and in the stillness that flows out of this contemplation, discernment and wisdom and words for just for the right season from God. For a moment, I want to digress slightly from the listening to the Spirit. In preparing for this morning, I've been really challenged that not only just listening to the Spirit, but what else goes on in my walk with God? What goes on behind closed doors in my spiritual life? Am I praying, studying those spiritual disciplines? Am I taking time to stop and reflect on my whole walk with him? I'm always challenged by a quote from an American pastor, or he used to be a pastor, John Piper. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. I think the book, and from what I've been praying and thinking about this morning, there's a direct correlation between our own walk with God, our own spiritual lives, and mission. Now, I hope this doesn't dissolve into sort of the inevitable guilt trip that we all go away from church this Sunday feeling ashamed. We've not read our Bible enough, or we've not prayed more, or we've not filled in the blank, whatever. Those of you here last week heard Tessa speak really well about the prodigal son, and talking about where God meets us. He meets us where we're at. He doesn't call us somewhere else. He calls us right here, right now, this Sunday morning, with all our fears and all our failures. He accepts us, not because of anything we've done or we've not done, but because of what he's done. So right here and right now, there's nothing that we can do as a church or individuals that will make God love us more or any less. So with that in mind, God meets us where we're at, but yet calls us deeper. Our loving and holy God calls us to grow with him. I'm always challenged to ask myself, am I the same person this time last year? Have I seen growth in my life? in my walk with God? Am I still struggling with the same issues, temptations, spiritual disciplines as 5, 10, 15 years ago? If so, if that's you too, I would suggest that we all need to desperately spend more time in the presence of God. We can't believe that spiritual disciplines, listening and prayer and study, are for the giants of the faith. God intends listening, prayer, and spiritual disciplines to be for ordinary human beings, people who have jobs and families, strains and stresses. Or if you're like me, sometimes I convince myself that if I was in this place, if I finally get to this date or surrounded by this group of people in this situation, things will be better. I'll be so much more holy than I already am. This will solve all my problems. Things will sort of fall away. I'll finally get around to properly reading that book or studying that or praying or listening or fasting or whatever. If we believe this, though, we've been sold a lie. It's a lie that Christian formation and growth happens in a utopia. Jesus, the disciples, and the many saints and churches that have gone before us show that spiritual growth and discipline of prayer, listening, studying his word can and should happen amongst the complexities of life. My prayer, part of my prayer this morning, is that we would remember our first love. God's Spirit would fall afresh on us as individuals, as a church, lead us to an insatiable desire to daily spend time with our Heavenly Father. I want to encourage us this morning, more than just thinking about taking some time out to listen to the Spirit, but to remember the importance of being still, sitting at the feet of Jesus, spending time with him in prayer, his word, those spiritual disciplines that nurture growth in us as disciples. It is in these times, I believe, that God builds us up into the men and women he intended us to be. The daily encounters with the living God that enable the church to shine into the darkness around us, to be a radical and tangible witness to our community, into this parish. It's out of these times of renewal and seeking God that we serve and are sent out into the world. On reflection, I think we're very good at the doing, at going out. At times we can be great activists. For me, it's like breathing out. We can breathe out and give and do and serve and give and do and breathe out and breathe out. But it's vital that there comes a point where we breathe in again. And if anything, I want us to remember this morning that we have to breathe in before we breathe out. I think of the illustration, those of you who've been on a plane will know at the start of the journey, the air host or hostess reminds you about the oxygen mask that comes down from the ceiling. Very strongly, very firmly, they say, you must put on your own mask before you put on anyone else's around you. And I think it's the same with our relationship with God. We must breathe deeply from him before we breathe out again in service. As a church, as we're seeking, as we're wrestling what it looks like to engage more in mission with the people around us, we have to know, we have to have tasted and seen ourselves the power and love of our Saviour to whom we are calling people to. For me, it's let's not spend our lives just building the kingdom and forget to sit with the King. To go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, especially here in Salisbury, we need to know the Saviour we are drawing people to. We must breathe in so that we can breathe out. Who are we ambassadors to if we ourselves cannot testify to the love and hope and grace found in Jesus? And if I'm honest with you, this partly where I'm at this morning, something God has been particularly speaking to me about. I've found that I've come to a place eventually over, years or months, where I was operating out of a place of my own strength and my own ability. My role requires me to sort of be a professional Christian, if you like. I'm leading studies and Bible studies and doing talks and things like that. And it's so easy for all of that to come from a place of, well, I've kind of read a book about it and I know it, or I've heard someone else talk about it, or I've seen this amazing preacher or Christian. And living from that place, using that recycled material and nothing from my own encounters with God. I found myself, and it was probably only sort of beginning of the year really, where I suddenly struck that it hit me that I was really struggling to share with people when I was meeting with some of the trainees that I work with or some of the people on the estate. I was struggling to share of the warmth that God's being in God's presence brings, or his infinite goodness, or knowing his grace and his mercy. I was living out of sort of recycled stories, if you like. And inevitably, eventually that ran dry and became stale. And I came to the simple yet powerful realization that I can't do it on my own. I have nothing within me that is going to bring life or hope or love or forgiveness to the people around me. And if I'm not plugged in, if I'm not breathing in, then I'm really going to struggle to breathe out again. And certainly God is still working in me. There's plenty left to do. But I need God just like I need air to breathe. And particularly, I've been challenged on, and maybe this is something for us, that actually we can and we should be seeking daily encounters with God. Maybe we find in our own walks that things do become hard, and we find ourselves maybe in the desert place or somewhere cold and dry. And thinking back to those past experiences is good to sustain us. But actually, God does call us each day to be and sit with him. Jesus found the mountainside regularly. He walked away from crowds. I mean, how alien would that be today for us to have a crowd of people? I'd be tempted, oh, we need an altar call, we need some youth work, we need some children's work, we need some craft tables. But actually, Jesus so many times just turned his back on the crowds to go and seek the Father's face, just to be still and quiet and listen. We are called to be shining lights, living witnesses to God's grace, and not tarnished and worn out testimonies of human effort. There are daily encounters to be had if we draw closer to him, if we breathe in. As a church, as individuals, the encouragement or the challenge for us is to find our mountainsides, to breathe in deeply of the Father. As the book says, we are being sent out on mission, and we must be in tune with the Spirit as we go into the world and walk alongside him each day, so that out of our relationship with him flows lies that can't help but tell and display of his majesty. In a moment, I think we're going to respond and just pause and maybe recognize that we all live busy, chaotic, hectic lives. And now would be a good time, instead of just talking about listening, I'm going to try and do it. But just to leave us, just think about the need for us as a church and individuals to breathe in deeply before we breathe out. And that's daily. Shall I pray, and then Paul will join us?